Okay, today is November 15th, 2017. So what is your name?
Mike Harden.
And where do you live?
Here in Ashland.
And what's your occupation?
I farm and ranch.
And how old are you?
I'm 68.
When did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire in general?
I had a friend that called me at noon and told me that there was a big fire southwest of Englewood, probably south of Frosty Ettinger's, and the wind was out of the south, probably blowing 40, 50 mile an hour, and he said, you might want to think about getting your tractor and disc. So I ate my dinner, and that's how I knew about it. It was about 12 o'clock.
You were at home?
Yes.
When you first called? And what was your immediate reaction?
Well, I knew in a fire like that fire trucks are totally helpless. And that it would take me several hours to get there. Mm-hmm. But there was nothing to contain it at that point, and that's, been burning part of the morning, and there was nothing going to stop it until it got to the farm ground, which was south of Mineola, and I thought, well, I probably need to go get some, see if I can help.
Yeah, so where's your equipment that you went and got? Is it located close to town?
It's north and east of Ashland, about, 13, 14 miles.
So what'd you go get?
I had a four-wheel drive tractor and an offset disc set up there. And so as soon as we got our dinner eaten, I took my hired man and he and I went up. And we had to, I don't remember if we had to put the batteries in the tractor or what, but we had to unhook it from a scraper and then hook it up to the disc and air up the tires on the disc. And I don't remember if I checked the fuel or not. Probably did, but then we had to. Then I had to start heading to town with it.
And where did you go first when you got back to town? Where did you decide was a good place to start?
Well, I just went right out here on the highway, right here to the west edge of town, and started discing the road ditches.
So, what time was it?
Well, I'm saying it was really weird because when I rode the tractor in, I got there to Mount Jesus Road next to the highway and started out on the highway, and then here's all these vehicles. And I go, come on, people, give me a break. I'm trying to get to the west edge of town. Well, I didn't realize that they had evacuated Ashland. So here I'm meeting all these vehicles with this tractor disc, and I finally just got to where those people could slow down for me is what I decided, so I don't know what time, 3:30?
3:36, I think, when they did the evacuate. So it would have to have been probably somewhere between 3:30 and 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So when you left town, could you see smoke when you first left town and went to get your tractor?
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember.
When you were coming back, could you see smoke? Could you see flames?
No. When I got to Mount Jesus, there was smoke to the northwest up on Bozeiden, mm-hmm. and in that area. And I called back to Millie Fudge, and I said, Millie, there's smoke up here. I said, should I stay here? Because I need to stay up here and help protect stuff. What do I need to do? She says, I got to have you on the west side of Ashland. And I said, okay, well, just be aware that there's smoke up here northwest of up on Dave Bozeiden. So I continued on to town.
So and how long did you plow? And where all did you plow or disc?
Well, I disc up and down the road ditches on the west side of town. And then when the wind switched out of the north, I was just coming down the road there south of the school on the blacktop, south that goes north on the west side of town. And I think it was Kit Walker I met, and the smoke was horrific coming out of the north. And I said, do I need to go north and help? And he says, Mike, you can't see anything. He said, Dave is up there trying to protect his house with a tractor and a disc. And I said, well, I said, I'm going to head that way. I said, he's going to have help. So I'd already disced there around the school. I disced up some of the yard.
Yeah.
So I started disking down the road on the west side of the school, road ditch and all. And then I got on north up there by Randall Spares, and there was a road grader in there in his yard, north side of his house, and they waved me on in. So I folded up my disc and went across the cattle guard and then unfolded and started disking, and I would disc on the north side of his house, north side of the house, and then on the west side of the house, I could just barely get through there because the creek falls off. And so I disc along the creek, and then down there to the south of his house, there was some cattle in the wheat of Bozidens, I think. So I disc a couple of times there trying to, make sure it didn't come up out of that draw and go on further east. And there were some cattle down there and horses. And I thought, well, I better, disc, make sure that maybe that fire didn't get to them. So I disc back north, and then I thought, well, I need to do a bunch of discing on the north side of the house. So at that point, there were several fences in there, and I said, hey, I ain't got time to mess with fences. I just started plowing through the fences.
So could you see pretty well still, or was there lots of smoke?
Well, there was a lot of smoke. But now I could see.
Could see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could see 300, 200 or 300 yards easily. I mean, it wasn't that little visibility. But he had a lot of big weeds there north of his house and a bunch of bales stacked. And I'm thinking, oh, man, that gets in there. So I just took out across that pasture there, weeds as tall as a hood on the tractor, and disc, and then I hit a fence to the north, and so I disc along the north side. Then I came back down again and disc again, and then I disc some more right there on the northwest side of his house there in that pasture. But then I could see the flames right to the west of his house, northwest of his house, and I'm going, uh-oh. So I disc some more there in the big weeds and thinking, oh, man.
Was it dark?
Oh, no, it was still light.
Like 4 or 5?
Yeah,
six,
something like
five.
That. So I disked in there, and then the fire was burning sideways, and it wasn't really coming at me. And I thought, okay. So I went further west towards the fire and then put in another fire break so the fire couldn't even get over to where I had disked.
Yep.
And disc a couple times in there, and then kind of walked. Well, didn't really watch. I thought, I need to go back down and check to the south of the house. Well, when I got down there, it had come across the draw, and it had kind of jumped my fire guard and had some of the cattle trapped in there a little bit. So I disc around them again and disc again right south of his house so it couldn't come back to the house from the south. And then I thought, well, I need to go back north and make sure it doesn't get through. So I disc on up in there, and then I realized that I had it contained, so it wasn't going to get to his house. So I thought, oh, man, I got to get on south because you'll want to buy those places down there and in the town, the school, and all that. So I started discing on the west side of the road. Well, I had to fold up my plow to get across the cattle guard. When I looked back, well, realized that I had part of Randall Spare's other cattle guard in my plow, so I had to dig that out. So I dug that out, and then I could go ahead and go across the cattle guard. Then I got on the other side and started discing down the road ditch, and then I got down there to Wanda's, and I'm going, oh, boy. Well, I could see the fire to the west, probably a good half mile or so to west of her house. So I disc in front of her house and on the highway, and there's highway patrolman sitting there in the middle of the intersection, and he didn't stop me from discing. I mean, I was discing on the south side of the highway, and I was discing on the north side of the highway. I disc in Wanda's yard. I disc in the west side of her house, in her tree row and everything. And then I thought, this ain't going to work. This ain't going to be enough. So I just drove out of her yard and drove on the west side of her house and had to disc in the ground, went through the fence, went on the north side of her house, and crossed an angle, went through another fence, and then came back around to the east of her house, and I don't know if I went through the fence there or not. I think I did, because, you got to make sure it doesn't get through. So somewhere in there, I disced some more in the schoolyard, And then I disc on the south side of the highway there, so if it went, couldn't get a, if it tried to get across the highway, it couldn't get in that, what is there, a orchard there or something?
Yeah.
So I disc in there and disc clear over to the next street, and I disc clear down to the vet building, I think. So then, I don't know how many strips I put around the north side of her house and west, and then I thought, well, okay, that'll work. So then I thought, well, I need to disc some more up by Kenny Swanson's house, because I didn't want Kenny to lose his house. So I just went down there to south end of where the hospital was and folded up and went through the gate and started discing there, and discing there on the west side of his house and on south down there in the, what was grass, CRP it was, I guess, or something. Disc back west to the dump. Mm-hmm. Then came back again and disced some more in there and made it wider. And then I think I disc another time in there.
And so are you seeing flames while you're discing now?
Well, yeah, you can see flames to the northwest. Yeah. Well, then I...
But they're not coming from the southwest coming up. They're all up on the north side, right?
Well, it's on the west side of town.
But it's coming from the north.
Yes. Yeah, well, see, when I... when I met Kit Walker earlier, that was, I don't know, it was still light, probably 5 o'clock or I don't know what time it was for sure.
Right.
That's when the wind had already switched out of the north. So when I was up there around Randall Spares, the wind was out of the north. Okay. When I first got there, it was out of the southwest.
Right.
Okay. And then that's when I disc in the schoolyard some. And then when it went out of the north, then that's when I decided I need to go on further north up by the golf course and up in that area so that the fire coming from the north couldn't come through by the golf course.
Right.
And that's when I got clear up there by Randall Spares, and I did that, and then I came back down on the highway or the dirt road on the west side discing it, so if it came in from the west, hopefully it wouldn't jump the road and go on. Well, then, yeah, after I did Wanda's around there, then I disc up in Shoop's pasture to the on the west side of the road,
right.
I ought to take you up here and show you where I went off that one hill right there on the south side of the creek.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen that?
No.
It was...
Pretty steep.
It was, yeah. But I just I put two guards in there and went through some of Shoop's fence.
Yeah.
Tried to disc around his equipment. He had a tractor and some truck and stuff there. So then after, like I said, after I got that done and then decided I need to go on down to Kenny's Swanson's house. Well, then, like I said, I disc in there several times, and then I'd gotten a tree or two. The disc would ball up with the big weeds. The weeds were tall as the hood of the tractor,
right.
And it left some clumps. I had to take it out and spread it. Well, I guess when I went over the clumps, it kind of jarred the tractor. Well, a couple of times of that, and then I got up there around Kenny's house. I must have had, I don't know how many passes I made. Well, because I stopped, and I've got pictures from the hood of my tractor looking to the northwest and the flames, and then coming looking to the west and kind of to the southwest up there. Then I took pictures to the southeast, and you can see the flames on the east side, southeast part of town, and then clear up. Of course, it's dark by then, and all you can see is the lights of town, but I'm estimating that the fire was clear up here by the cemetery. It's hard to tell. Well, anyway, then I was discing a little bit more, and then a hydraulic hose broke on the transmission on the tractor and dumped all the oil, and my tractor stalled.
Ooh, and where were you when that happened?
I was south of the hospital.
Ah. Okay. So?
So my hired man was there, so at that point I got in with him, and I thought, oh, okay, I got a road grader down here at my shop. We just gotten some batteries, so we put the batteries in it. And so I took the road grader back out there and put a fire guard around my tractor and plow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going, okay, I haven't been southeast of town. I need to go see, because I got a place there and a bunch of equipment around there and see if that's burning through there. And so when I went out there, it hadn't gotten that far, hadn't burnt back that far west. It was east of me a mile. Carolyn Degnan's road. It was right east of that a little ways. And I thought, okay, that's back burning. And I don't see any fire trucks or nothing. So I thought, well, I better go down to her house and see if anybody's around.
Did you see anybody with spray rigs?
There was nobody.
Nothing.
Nothing. So I got down there to the cattle guard right there on my southeast corner of my field. It's about a quarter mile north of her house. And I could tell there's nobody. There's nothing there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, this is going to backburn into her place.
The wind's still blowing.
It's blowing out of the northwest.
And it's still blowing hard?
Well, it was still blowing pretty good. But the humidity had come up, and it wasn't blowing like it was there at 5 or 6 yeah. o'clock when it was 60, probably 50, 60 mile an hour winds.
Had the temperature dropped?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it had. But I was inside, so I didn't know.
So you didn't notice?
Yeah. So I thought, well, I'm dropping that blade down the ground, and I'm going to plow fire guard around, starting from the cattle guard and going southeast and mm-hmm. north side of her house up there around it. And again, I just went right through her fence. I didn't even stop. Came around clear on the east side and got around to a road on the south side of her house, and I thought, okay, well, that'll block that. But I need to – so I turned around and played. And widened it out a little bit, and it got back up to the cattle guard. Well, then several people showed up, and I had wire around the tires and wheels, and also some of the guys had cut the wire off. And then I could see the fire was coming closer to my fire guard. Right. I said, guys, I got to go because I need to widen it. So I started back down at the fire guard again, and I got, right north of her barn, and I ran into the fire.
Ooh.
And of course, then you can't see. Right. And then I didn't know where the fire guard was for sure. Mm-hmm. And I go, okay, well, I'm going to go on through it. So I went on through the fire and then came around, and she had a yard light. And I could see where the house was and kind of where the barn was and the corrals. And so then I got to the south end of where I'd put in the fire guard. And then I started back again, and I wanted to make sure it hadn't jumped. I can't tell you if it jumped it or not. All I know was, At that point, I just went to the fire, put the blade down, and started throwing dirt with the tip of the blade on the fire. And then I came around and started to head west, kind of on the north side of her house, and the fire was coming in there pretty good. And I couldn't see the flames. Man, you could see the reflection off the smoke, and I'm going, do I want in there or not?
Yeah.
So I started three times. I started to go in there, and I go, and I chickened out. And finally, about the, I don't know, third or fourth time, I go, okay, we're going. So I just kind of went where I thought the fire guard was, and then when I got back in there to where the fire was, well, I just stayed right on the on the part that wasn't burnt, mm-hmm. and I just let the tip of the blade, and I didn't really have time to look back, but it looked like it was putting it out. So mm-hmm. I just went along the fire throwing dirt on top of it. And then I go, I'm blading, and I'm going, where's the road? Where's the cattle guard? And I go, where in the world? Because, you have no idea where you are.
Yeah.
And finally I get up there, and I go running through a fence. And I go, oh, man, I'm not where I thought it was. And then I get on up there a little bit further, and then I can kind of see the lights of town, and then I realize kind of where I'm at. So then I get on up there to another fence, and then I go, well, I'm not going to go through that fence. So I just put a fire guard right there, so when it burned down there, and then I went on to the west.
So were you still south of the dirt road? On Degnan's south of the road, or had you
yes.
gone across?
No, I was.
So you're all still south of the road?
Yeah, I was a half mile south of the road. So I put a fire guard. I knew where that cattle guard was, so I put a fire guard the rest of the way west on the north side of that fence, and then down the west side of that field next to the west fence, and then back to where the cattle guard was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I got there, see, the fire was all out, except to the very north.
Right.
And I had that so it wouldn't come on south. And then I'm thinking, okay, that fire is still burning south of her, east of her house. Fire trucks came in there, and they kind of knocked it down, and then here she came back again. And I'm going, okay, that thing's going to backburn, and there's nobody here. How far west is it going to backburn? Is it going to backburn into town? Because basically, you know, there's CRP from her house clear back to the creek. And then it gets in the creek. It could go north or south or whatever, or both. So I started down the road on the west side of her house, putting up a, you know, blading, trying to get a fire guard there. And then I get down there, and then there's a fence. And I'm going, oh, what do I do now? Well, in the meantime, another friend of mine called me. He had a place up there north of Ashland, about a mile or so north of Ashland, and the fire was back burning into his place, and no fire trucks.
Yep.
And I said, okay. I said, I'll be up. So now somewhere in there, I went to the house and ate some supper, and I don't know. I don't know.
It was dark, right?
Oh, yeah. It was dark.
Yeah. So did you go take your blade through town to get up north?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So how, when you say you're cutting a firewall, how big is your blade?
Well, that blade's 16 foot. But I don't do it probably the right way. Mm-hmm. I put the heel of the blade down and had it at an angle that it throws the dirt out.
Right.
And it, now the bad thing is it creates a ditch. But if you try to blade flat, the grass, you know, out in the pasture and it's dark, yeah. How are you going to see? How are you going to know if you're getting all the grass? You got to get it clean or it'll burn across. If you put it down too far, you know, far enough that you're creating a ditch and throwing a ridge, yep. Then you know that you're kind of building a fire guard.
So do you have lights?
I had one headlight. I couldn't see beyond my front wheels.
Couldn't see the fence, right?
When I hit the fence, yeah, I saw it.
That's when you saw it?
Yeah, that's when I saw it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, back to my friend north town. So I went up to his place. Well, it was burning in from the east side. So I said, hey, I said, I can't see. I said, you got to get in front of me, and I'll follow you. So he got in front of me with his pickup so I could see where to go. And so I put a fire guard on the east side of his place. Well, I'll bet I built a fire guard a mile and a half long on the east side of his place. And then come to find out the next day, it got to the fire guard, and then on the south end, it burned on west, and then it came back from the south and burnt back into him from the south.
South.
Yeah. But anyway, it didn't get him bad.
Right.
So when I got that to the south end, then I had to turn around and blade the whole way back. So then I go, okay. And that may have been when I went to town. I think that's when I went to town and ate. Uh-huh. And, no, yeah, I did.
Did you have to fill up with gas?
I don't remember filling up with fuel.
Ever?
Nope. Evidently, I could read the fuel gauge.
Yep.
Okay.
So once
you're asking me things that, honestly, you know, that was important, so I must have subconsciously, you know, kept track.
Yep. So you knew.
Yeah, so I knew that I
didn't. And that would be maybe a time when you went to town.
Well, I came back through town, and I may have stopped and eaten something and let Joe go eat something too. And then I go, okay, I need to go back out south of Carolyn's house and go clear on south.
Right.
To the other road down by Klinger's or mm-hmm. Anderson's.
Right.
So,
where McVickers live now?
Well, it'd be east of them.
East of them?
A mile.
Yeah.
Mile east of them. There's a closed road in there south of Carolyn's house. So I called Dustin Walker because mm-hmm. he was familiar with that at Carolyn's. And I said, hey, what do I do here south of Carolyn's house? I said, I run into a fence. What do I do? And he said, well, there's a gate right there and you can go on south. I said, okay. I said, well, I need to put in a fire guard. He said, okay. So I got Joe in front of me. Again, I couldn't see where to go.
Right.
And Joe was leading me while I was ablading. And I went, I don't know, a mile and a half or so south of her house.
Probably.
Bladed all the way down her to the dirt road. Opened the gate. Bladed to, you know, make sure it's clear so it couldn't, mm-hmm. sneak through. Then I bladed all the way back up to her house. Well, then in the meantime, somebody called me and said they were worried about over there next to Randall Spare's house. The CRP was burning beyond the Allison place. That's somewhere. Yeah, the Allison place is, yeah, that'd be north of Tony Maffitt's. But it was burning back to the west, and there was nothing to keep it from going down the road ditch.
Right.
So I drove back up there, and I put a fire, you know, cut it so that it couldn't burn from the road ditch to the field. There's a wheat field there. Got into the wheat field, make sure that it was blocked.
How fast can you go on the blade?
Oh, it probably runs 20 mile an hour.
Mm-hmm. So then it take you that long to get there?
Yeah, oh, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So then I come back to the house. Maybe that's when my wife is going to fix me something to eat. Because I said, golly.
Were you in contact with her? Did she know where you were most of the evening?
Well, that's... I don't want to say this.
What, did she evacuate or was she still in town?
She didn't know to evacuate because she's working in the FSA office.
Right.
The word didn't get to her. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't call her. I just knew she was okay. I knew she was safe. And then I find out later she evacuated, went clear over to protection and then Coldwater, and I'm going, okay. And then she kind of got on to me. She says, you never called me once. And I'm going, I'm sorry.
I was busy.
I was a little bit busy, yeah. Yep.
Did you talk to a lot of people, though, while you were on the tractor and on the blade?
Not really, because you're busy. You're trying to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the way to town... I did call, or I text or called a couple of my kids and said that they're evacuating Ashland. You know, just let them know what we were into.
Right.
Because, okay, the fire hadn't reached Ashland, so I wasn't concerned.
Right.
Okay, I just wanted the kids to know so they could look on the news. And...
Yep. Facebook seemed to be a better place to look.
I'm not on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. But are they?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I let them.
You let them know what was going on so they kind of have an idea. So did you have any property close to town? Well, you have that place south of town, right?
Well, I've got the Merriman place. My horses were there.
Mm-hmm. Did you go out that way?
No, I called Joe, or Joe was with me, and I sent Joe out there to check and see, and he said the fire hadn't gotten there. So,
right.
And then it looked like the fire was out. I had no idea what happened out there. I figured maybe, you know, I may have lost my horses.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, if you can, go out there and turn the horses out in the wheat field.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and what about your property east of town down there? Did it burn that part?
No, that's what I said.
Because everything was east of there.
Yeah,
right?
It was east of there. Yeah, it got to that corner.
Okay, and then, so when did you go from being around Ashland and helping put stuff out there and then go out to Lexington? Because didn't you go out there?
Yeah, well, okay, let me think a little bit. I think when I came back from there by putting a little fire guard across the ditch there by Randall Spares, you know, that was, I have no idea what time.
Nobody knows what time anything was.
Okay. And I think that's when I came back and ate a little something.
Yeah.
My wife was back. You know, somewhere in there we did make communication. And, you know, I don't know. I've had to go back and look at times on pictures I took. So I knew kind of when, what was going on. I thought when I came back in and got the road grader that I talked to her.
Mm-hmm.
I think I talked to her before I got the road grader. I don't know. There was so much going on. I'm just trying to...
keep the fire from going where it didn't need to go?
Yeah, doing what I could do. Well, anyway, I think I ate something, and then that's when I said, okay, I got to go up north and see what's going on up there. I do. So I think while my wife is fixing something to eat, I said, Gail, I got to go check up there. So I got my pickup, and I headed up north of Sitka, and I got up there. Well, there where that electric substation is?
Yes.
It was burning across that pasture, but it was backburning. And it was going to backburn across me, and I've got a bunch of equipment and stuff right there to the east, and I got cows in there. And I go, okay, there's no fire trucks. I call to see, and there's no fire trucks. So I go, okay, I got to go back town and get the road grader. So
you really hadn't gotten very far, right?
Very far.
You got to, like, the curves or...
Yeah.
That... Yeah. Not all the way.
Yeah, well, the fire was already out to the north. Okay, yeah. There wasn't any fire. It was all to the southwest.
And it was going east?
Yeah, it was backburning to the east, that's right. So, I think, when I got east of Ashland, I stopped there at the 3 Mile Junction and looked back, and I've got pictures looking back across the Chrisman place to the southwest towards Carolyn Dagnan's and fire mm-hmm. on the hill there.
Yeah.
And then I got on over further east and right west of Sitka, right there after you cross the low water bridge. Then I stopped there to take a picture, and I've got several pictures of the fire around Sitka, and you can see the glow of the flames, and then you can see the elevator.
The elevator with those big, flames?
Well, it was that pile of wood.
The railroad ties?
Yeah, they were burning. Yeah. Okay, and the glow. And, of course, the grass was burning there west of Sitka, too. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it lit up the elevator pretty good. You could see it in my pictures. So that's when I went on up north, and then I realized, hey, I got to go up there. So I came back, I think I ate,
mm-hmm.
and then I sent Joe home, and I go, I got to get in the grader. So I took the grader. I took the road grader up there, and that's when I put a fire guard there at the substation so it couldn't backburn across me. And when I got that done, I think that was 5:30 in the morning when I looked back at the picture. See, I lost all track of time, complete track of time.
Right.
The adrenaline is just...
When you were up there at Lexington, did you talk to your brothers?
No, they were on east. They were trying to get it on further east. And... You know, I'm wore out by then.
Right.
And I called them, and when I got through with the grader, I said, hey, the grader's here, guys. I said, I got to go home. I said, I'm all in. I got to go home. So
when you went down the highway, everything's burnt going back into town, right, down the highway?
I don't know. I can't tell.
You can't tell?
No.
You can't see anything?
I've just got one little headlight in the front of that sees to the front tires. Now, if you kind of look to the side... But it's dark anyway. I mean, you can't, at night, you can't tell for sure what's what.
So did you go home, go to bed?
Yeah.
How long were you down? I mean, did you stay?
Well.
Did you sleep for a while, or you sleep?
Well, I went and took a shower and probably went to bed, and I can't tell you how long I slept because I honestly don't. I guess I could look at, there was a picture that I took the next morning after, east of the substation looking back south, and there was smoke back up there in the hills. So that's probably where I went first was, I guess. I don't know. I've lost, honestly.
Yeah.
I lost track of everything I did on some things. You know, I have a heart issue.
Yeah. How'd that work for you?
Yeah, it didn't flare up during it. Honestly, did not.
Didn't even think about it?
What I found with it, unless it's really bad, you don't feel it.
Yeah.
And I think the adrenaline probably overcomes some of it,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Right.
I don't know. And when it hits me the worst, it seems like it's when I'm sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
Or relaxed.
Yeah. So Tuesday, did you go out and fight fire, or were you basically seeing where the fire had been and what damage was?
I think I went out and see where the fire had been and the damage and taking pictures.
And what kind of damage did you have?
Did I have?
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Did you lose any cattle?
No. All mine were on wheat.
Wheat. And did you lose lots of fence?
Yeah.
Lose all your pasture?
Most of it, yeah.
Did you lose hay?
I had some hay stacked south of Sitka on Gary White on CRP. There was, I don't know how many hundreds of bales down there, and I knew it was gone, but I didn't have time to go and look. I mean, what difference is it going to make anyway? At that point, ain't going to make any difference.
So what kind of things did you do Tuesday then, once you kind of assessed the damage?
I think I just went around and kind of looking to see what the damage was and took pictures.
So how'd that make you feel? I mean, what kind of, what?
Well, to be honest,
how did you feel about all that?
There was nobody, I didn't really know of anybody that died.
Yeah.
I didn't know the extent of how many homes were burnt. I wasn't hearing any catastrophic things. You know, I when I drove back through the mountain road, I could see dead cattle. I didn't know how many. I should have probably taken some pictures so we had pictures to show.
Did you have any electrical lines that were down that you had to drive over? Or
well, there wasn't any down, but there was along the road. The poles were burned off and all. So,
anything that really shocked or amazed you in what you saw?
I can't remember anything.
Nothing stands out?
No.
What would you think your most vivid memory of the fire is?
My most vivid memory of the fire. Never thought about that. I guess it would be over the next several days or weeks, the feeling of desolation of, you know, the trees were gone, the fences were gone, just the blackness. And every morning when you go out and step outside, the putrid smell of the smoke. And we went, see, we had our South, my grandkids are in good school at South Central, and we had a basketball game up there at Hayes. And we just made up our minds we were going. So we went on up there that weekend and just to get away. I guess when I thought about my situation, I'm going, wow, I'm okay. I didn't lose any livestock. I didn't lose any equipment. Yeah, I've lost fences and I've lost my grass. But I didn't know how many people lost lots of livestock. Then I start hearing about people lost their homes, and then you get to thinking about how devastating that is, and I'm going, wow, I feel for them. Because I know how much I was struggling with the reality of what happened, and I hadn't really lost anything.
So did you have a lot of damage to your tractor or your blade or any of that?
No, it just broke a hydraulic line. Well, the disc, it messed up a bunch of disc on the disc and all, but that's just, you know, it didn't break it or, you know, it just.
Things you have to fix.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been around this area all your life pretty much, and you've seen other wildfires and other things come through like this. How does this compare? I mean,
well, I was involved probably 10 years ago or more. There was a fire north of Sitka, about 3 miles. Mm-hmm. And the wind had come up. I was at the museum. And the wind had come up out of the southwest. Now, this was in January. Mm-hmm. And the wind came out of the southwest. I was blowing 60 mile an hour or more. It was blowing dirt and sand against the windows of the museum. And then about 11:45, the siren fell.
Ooh, yeah.
And I'm going, oh, my God. Wow. And this kind of a wind, this is a wreck. So I called down to find out where it is, and they said it's north of Sitka. Well, see, I've got land right up there. Mm-hmm. And I go, where? And so they told me, and I go, okay, that's on me. Mm-hmm. So I had a tractor and a disc here by Ashland, so I got them started and headed up there, and that fire. And when I got to that one, they didn't have the north side put out at all. Had little bit of it. They're mainly on the south side, and I started disking on the north side of it, and it was controlling it. And then I got probably halfway down, and then I met a fire truck. coming mm-hmm. back towards me, putting it out, and then I'd start back up and get behind him again.
Yeah.
So when we met, he turns around, and then he starts putting it out in front of me, and then I can put half the disc on burnt and half the disc on the unburnt.
Right.
And then the cow chips don't start it again.
Yeah.
So we were probably running longer. I'll bet I was running 8-9 mile an hour discing.
Yeah. And that burnt pretty a lot of
Yeah, there was
miles.
Probably 4,000 acres.
Yeah. Nothing to compare to this, though.
No. Yeah. Not in the massiveness of it.
Yeah.
The thing that got this was there were three fires.
Yeah.
And you had the one coming up out of the southwest, which had been burning for probably 5 hours, 6 hours. And, you know, they didn't have any of it contained. And then you had the ones to the northwest of Ashland that were burning to the north and east. And there was nobody up there. And, of course, I was looking at the map the other day, and it burned all the way from Denny Denton's house,
mm-hmm.
clear over east of 34 Highway there by Kirk's. It was probably 3 miles east of the highway there at Kirk's.
Yep.
So you're talking 20 miles long.
Yep.
Okay? When the wind come up out of the switch and come out of the northwest, you had a 20-mile-wide wall of fire coming at you. There was no way to contain it at all.
Yep.
And plus, you had the fire southwest of Ashland that turned and went southeast, south, and southeast, too.
Yep. So when they converged, it's kind of...
Yeah, they converged here south and southeast of Ashland. And yeah. Yep. The only thing that stopped it was farm ground.
Yeah.
Yep.
So who were some of the people or agencies that proved most helpful during the fire?
During the fire?
Or after? People that were most helpful or agencies that were most helpful?
Well, of course, the fire department, but that was totally overwhelmed.
Did you get to see any of the strike teams that came in? Did you get to see them work?
No.
Just saw them sitting in town?
Yes. I didn't see any of them work. I was just trying to...
Get your own stuff back together?
Yeah.
So did you see any of the helicopters or the planes that came in and dropped stuff?
Nope.
So basically, were you mostly working up in the Lexington area to fix stuff, or were you kind of all over? What was your biggest priority after the fire?
You know, that's all kind of a fog.
What'd you do with your cattle? Did you have to do anything with
them? No, but they were contained. Because it didn't destroy any of the fence where they were.
Uh-huh.
So they were fine, and even the cattle here around town. It didn't really affect any of the fence, so I was in good shape on all my livestock.
What about water?
Well, they got the electricity going timely enough that my electric well up north took care of those cows. And, of course, we didn't really lose electricity. Well, I don't use electricity here south. West of town, or I do southeast of town, but we didn't lose that because.
Yeah.
So.
What about your horses out at Barron?
I didn't get that far. It lacked a half mile from getting to that place, so they were fine.
Were close.
Yeah. Like I said, I was very fortunate.
Yep. So did you get any of the hay that came to town?
Yes, I did get some of the hay. Yeah.
Did people bring it to you, or did you have to go pick it up?
No, there was some. Well, feed and seed was totally overwhelmed. And so Jeff asked me if I would take some of it and unload it. So I took some and unloaded some on me and helped him unload quite a little bit of it, too. I took a loader tractor down there and helped. And
lot coming in all at once?
Oh, yeah, there's lots of hay. Lots of hay. Well, I don't know how many thousands of bales they stacked down here south of town.
Yeah, and then they started just... Shipping it out to the ranches.
Well, people would come in and get it, yes.
Yeah.
But it was still, there was a big pile of hay left this spring.
Did you go down to the Christian camp? and eat with the volunteers or
no,
meet
I didn't.
Any of them down there?
I really didn't, no. I had grandsons here by then, and we were working on tearing out fence.
So you mainly had, did you have any volunteers help you or just
family?
No, just
I didn't
family?
Have any. Just my grandsons. They were needing a job, and it looked to me like other people needed the volunteers, and I had help, and so I thought, I'll just put those boys to work.
What effects, physical, financial, or emotional, do you think the fire caused you?
I would say, to begin with, it wasn't so much, but then as the reality set in of the amount of work, fencing and all, and then I got to be pretty grumpy and hard to get along with, chewing on them boys to, you know, you need to do this and that, which I feel kind of bad about. But
so, how many miles of fence did you have to replace?
I'm probably going to be around 5 miles. I had quite a little bit of new fence.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a difference, but I don't know how many corners. I'll bet you I may be up close to 100, when I get done, 100 corners. You know how much time it takes to put in corners? You're looking at a minimum of 2 hours to three.
Putting in steel?
Yeah.
And putting them in concrete?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. It takes time to get them. Well, of course, I've been buying them, but we've been adding pegs to them to keep the concrete around them. And then just haul them out there and drill the holes, get them set up, mix the concrete. It just unbelievable the amount of time it takes to build corners.
So what'd you do with all the burnt fence and...
Hauled it to the dump.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah, I've got... I don't know how many tickets of stuff. Those boys would spend part of the morning unloading the trailer that they'd loaded up the previous day, and you had to separate the wire from the post and all that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they had, well, sometimes they'd bring in the trailer at noon and spend part of the afternoon unloading the trailer.
So how many grandsons did you have helping you?
I had 2 grandsons and then another young guy.
Yeah. Cool. So can you perceive anything positive that's resulted from the fire?
Well, how generous people are. Probably the most humbling. Humbling thing I've ever experienced.
Did you get a lot of people thanking you for plowing, disconnecting
the
stuff?
Oh, yeah, but I did, you know, I just do my part just like the fireman, okay?
Right.
That's all I was doing. I just, you know, I had somebody who was really, you know, carrying on, what can I do for you? How can I repay you and all? And I said, hey, a thank you's enough. And that's what I always felt like. You know, that I just do my part, okay? But back to the humbling thing about people and the generosity.
Yeah.
I had to learn how to be
a taker?
A gracious receiver.
Yes. I think that's one of the hardest things we've all had to learn out of this, don't you?
Yeah, and that minister, when we had the community service, mm-hmm. One of the comments that stuck with me is, what you may think is your most admirable trait or whatever may be your downfall. Mm-hmm. And I think about... Well, for one example, I guess that's our pride, right. And having to humble ourselves to be a thankful recipient. And I realized how important that is to be a gracious, humble recipient because people want to help. And it makes people feel good to help. And that's important. That's what gives us all worth, I guess you might say, or it makes us different than animals.
Right.
That we can share and help one another.
Were you amazed at the number of people that wanted to come here and help?
I was amazed at how far people came. Yeah. And I was amazed at all the convoys of material and bales and all. It was, like I said, it was totally overwhelming. Totally overwhelming.
And it keeps coming in some respects.
Yeah.
Because there's people that still want to come. So what can you do or have you done to prepare for a future event?
I don't know that you can prepare.
That's true.
I do need to get my disc fixed up because no more than these double offset discs cost. Now, the biggest thing is going to be having access to a tractor because a lot of people have gone no-till.
Right.
But having a disc available and a tractor available to pull the disc because, honestly, that's the only way that you stand a chance in a fire like that is to, if you got a number of farmers or people that have equipment to put up fire guards.
So what about the community? What can they do to prepare? Were you amazed at how people evacuated?
I didn't pay attention.
You were too busy?
I was too busy. All I know is I met that solid stream of vehicles. But you know, okay, I hope I don't say this wrong. I wouldn't have been evacuated. And I guess I wouldn't have been scared, and maybe I should have been. But, you know, I would stay and fought the fire. I've got, you know, I have access to equipment.
Right.
So, I don't, I'm going to be there to help in some way. Does that sound foolish?
Not coming from a farm background.
Okay.
And knowing how everyone used to, before they had a fire department that was...
Pitched in.
Everybody had a spray rig and
you bet.
And went and brought their spray rig and paid money to help get a truck and
yep.
stuff. And I've heard several people say that they're going to get another spray rig.
You know? But you won't use it enough and then it won't work and then you're dependent upon it. And so I think the biggest thing you can do as a community, I'm probably going to step on some toes here. I think a good fire department probably edges out the hospital. Sorry. And I'm stepping on toes there. But.
How so?
Well, you know, I've been opposed to what we've done. Mm-hmm. Spending that amount of money for a hospital, it's nice. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be utilized. That's my number one concern. It's not, you can't, it's foolish. We could have fixed up and gotten by with what we had. We've got other things that need attention worse than the hospital. When I was on the hospital board back in the 80s, we didn't even have any doctors. We didn't even have patients in the hospital. And we had more people here then than we got now. And we got by, didn't we?
Did.
We got by good, pretty good, honestly. Is this nice? Yes. Is it needed? Yes. But we can't justify spending it. It's not going to be utilized, I'm sorry, to the extent that it needs to be utilized. Is it being utilized some? Yes. That fire department is probably, without that good fire department, And I'm sorry to be...
Reality's reality.
Reality's reality. And I'm not saying we don't need health care here. We do. We dearly do. But I think health care's changed a lot in the last 20 years. They don't let you stay in the hospital very long. They found it gets you up and gets you going quicker. So I'm sorry. I just don't see we can't do any procedures here. This is just a place to bring and stabilize you and decide where to ship you. We don't have enough staff. If you tried to put enough staff here, they wouldn't be utilized enough. They wouldn't be trained enough because they're not using their talents enough to stay up on it. Okay? I think we'd be better served with a good ambulance service and maybe some trained or paid EMTs. And I don't want to lose paramedics. And I don't want to lose the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay. This breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to take flack for that.
Oh, you never can tell. So, do you have any other thoughts about this experience? Anything that sticks out in your mind about?
I hope nobody else ever has to go through this. I'm struggling very hard emotionally right now. It's bit me financially. I think we're going to be hurt next year worse. Well, like me, I've sold off 40% of my cows. The grass did not come back very good. If we don't get some good rain and some things, we're going to be hurting on grass. And then what's going to happen is people are going to have to liquidate their cows this next year. The price is down on the cows. I could see it really being tough. And then with this fencing deal, it's strapped a lot of people financially for the amount of money that they're having to spend and the amount of time and the amount of stress. I know myself, I'm probably under the worst stress I've ever experienced in my life.
So did you take advantage of like the Community Foundation and the KLA and some of those?
Yes, I did get some generous donations from them.
And help. Do the fencing stuff through the FSA or the soil conservation type stuff.
Yeah, I didn't take any of the donated supplies because I felt like, like an individual said, there's not enough to go around. And I'd just go ahead and do mine through the FSA and let other people have the donated fencing supplies. I just felt like that was the right thing to do.
So anything else? Any other experiences from this? Are you doing something to combat your emotional? Are you getting some help, or are you taking trips? Or
I don't have time.
Yep. Do you have someone helping you with your work?
Nope, not now. Yeah. I had a grandson get hurt this summer, and it's really taking a toll.
Yep.
Tremendous toll, and it's taking a toll yet today, and it's going to take a toll for several years.
So what's the biggest thing that's changed for you in this from this fire?
I'm having to reevaluate where I'm going, where I'm going to be in a year or 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's a reality check. It's not fun.
Nope.
Probably some major changes.
For a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, I think for our community, I think there's going to be, well, there's going to be a lot of change of, I've already seen land being changed in hands, sold, leases. I think you're going to see a lot more of that. I think you're going to see it's going to take a toll on everybody.
So especially some of the older landlords, did they get hurt somewhat with the fencing
I think so.
Program?
Yeah.
Or
you take some of these people that inherited some land and they're living on it for retirement, and now it's going to take several years of income off of it to make payments on the loan for the 25% of the fencing expense.
Yeah.
And that's why I felt like that those people probably, and then there's some other people that don't have the
financial wherewithal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
how long do you think it's going to take you to replace your fences to how you want them to be?
Well, I need to be done by next spring. So I'll have to give up if I don't get it done. I've got another grandson that's, well, one of them that's helped this summer is going to be here in December. And the other grandson that got hurt, I think he's going to be able to help. And so we're going to work on the fence in the month of December, willing, you know, with the weather cooperating.
Yes.
And so far it has. And I'm hoping we can get a bunch of the corners set and start in on some of it. I may have to give up and hire some of it installed. Yeah. This is totally overwhelming.
So are you repairing or are you replacing?
Both. Both.
Yeah. You're using a lot of steel posts instead of wood?
All steel.
All steel?
All steel. Well, like I said, some of this burned up there. This is the third. See, I had an electric line fire up there a year ago where this burnt through.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then that other fire 10 years ago up in there, and that's where a lot of that new fence was. So I've been burnt up there 3 times in 10 years.
Yep.
And I'm along the highway, so what would you do?
Yep.
And hope this doesn't sound wrong or whatever, but the government's paying for 3/4 of it, so you better just bite the bullet and try to do it right.
Yep.
Or you got some assistance.
And hopefully you don't have to do it again for another 40 years or whatever.
I hope I'm here in 40 years, yeah. But I don't think so.
And any other thoughts?
Like I said, I just hope nobody else has to go through this. Honestly, I am lucky in comparison to a lot of my neighbors. So, and I am thankful for that.
Yep.
I don't know what I'd done if I'd lost my home. I don't know what I'd done if I'd lost 100 cows or so. So it'd been tough.
Thank you for your time and for sharing your experiences with us. Thanks.